This episode originally aired in 1990. The year 2018 marks the centennial of Marianne McPartland, and in honor of the occasion, we revisit a session from 1990 with Marianne and her husband, cornet legend Jimmy McPartland. Jimmy played with early greats such as Big Spiderbeck and Fats Waller. Jimmy and Marianne met during World War II playing jazz for the Allied troops. After the war, Marianne followed him back to the States to his hometown Chicago, where he helped her get her start on the jazz scene. She described him as mentor and love of her life, who gave her much more than a new last name.
Hi, I'm Marianne McPartland. My guest today is Jimmy McPartland, a gentleman I know quite well, who happens to be one of the great jazz cornetists. And together we're going to reminisce, and then we'll delve into the early days of Chicago jazz, which you know quite well, don't you, James?
I should be. I was there.
You were there. You were born there.
That's right.
At where?
The near west side of Chicago.
Well, you were really in on the early days of jazz. I mean, you were around when all the greats, like King Oliver, was playing in Chicago.
Yeah.
In fact, you heard Louis Armstrong when he was with King Oliver, didn't you?
I sure did, at the Lincoln Gardens. I've forgotten the name of the street, 32nd, 35th, or something like that.
Was that the first time you'd ever heard Louis?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, with King Oliver. He was the second cornet player to King Oliver.
And was that when Lil Armstrong, or Lil Hardin,
right,
rather,
yeah,
was in
right
the band?
That's right.
Then she married Louis.
Yeah.
Well, that's probably where you learned some of the great songs that I've heard you play and sing all these years. One I always liked that you did was St. James Infirmary.
Yeah, I liked that too. I loved the way Louis sang that thing. He had his own style, like. I guess I was influenced by that, naturally.
So you sing one, I'll play one.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
All right, here we go.
I went down to St. James Infirmary. Saw my baby there. Man, she was laid out on a long white table, so cold, so white, so fair. Let her go, God bless her. No matter where she may be, you can search this whole wide world over, but you'll never find a sweet loving man like me.
Boy, I really love that tune. That's one of my all-time favorites, I think.
It's a story. It's a tragedy, you know. Tragedy. Terrible. Oh.
I don't know who wrote that, but it's one of the staples in the repertoire, isn't it?
Yeah.
I remember seeing a little movie short with you in it, and it was you and Benny
Goodman
and
Jack Teagarden,
because that was made in 1929. I was amazed to see an actual movie made of those days. But wasn't that the same date, or the same hotel rather, where you later met Bing Crosby and the
Park Central,
and you and Benny went up on the roof to play handball.
We came out and we had black and white shoes, and we had been playing in these black and white shoes, you know. And they came on the stage dirty, and I used to have to come out and sing a number out in front and do a solo. And we came off our performance, and Benny Pollock got on my tail. My shoes were dirty, but so were Benny's. My shoes were dirty. We'd been playing handball out on the roof before the next show, you know. And we came back in, and Ben Pollock fired me for having dirty shoes. Benny Goodman says, "You fired Jimmy for having dirty shoes?" He says, "Look at mine." He says, "I quit." Ben Pollock, so Pollock fired me, Benny Goodman, my pal. We used to room together.
I know you did. In fact, back to the Chicago days, I remember you telling me that you went with Benny to buy his first pair of long pants.
Down to Marshall Fields, that is correct.
You used to hang out at his house, and his mother would kind of look after you.
Oh, his mother cooked the greatest foods. Oh, she was a great cook, Benny's mother. And, we used to hang out a lot, and he used to come out to Austin High and join the Austin High band with Tesh Marker on clarinet and alto, Bud Freeman on tenor, Davy Tuff on drums, Dave North on piano, my brother Rich on guitar and banjo, and me on cornet.
And Jim Lanigan on bass.
Jim Lanigan, my brother-in-law, went to Chicago with Chicago Symphony. He was quite accomplished.
Well, that was actually a legendary band. It was the only band of its kind, like a white jazz group to come out of listening to all this wonderful black music, King Oliver and Louis. You guys were inspired to play, and you had quite a successful little group going for some years, didn't
you? High school gang.
But then because of that band, that was what led the people to call you to replace Vic Spiderbeck in the Wolverines.
Oh, yes, yes. The drummer we had played, Vic Moore was the drummer's name. We had played together at a date out at Northwestern University, and he mentioned me. He says, "Boy, you sound just like Vic." So I said, "Well, I hope so." I said, I'm influenced by him. He plays the greatest, you know, all those beautiful notes. Beautiful tone, you know. He played good piano, too. He had a mist.
Well, you know, that... Actually, I love to play that tune. I learned that in a mist from Bix's record years ago in England, and I didn't realize what I had. I mean, I didn't realize that was a priceless record, and I don't ever know what happened to it. But I'd love to play a little of that tune for you.
Why don't you? I'm glad to listen.
Okay. Like it?
I thought it was great. It was lovely. Well done. Bix would be happy. He'd be happy to hear it. He's smiling at you now. He's saying, "Well done, Marianne."
Well, it's funny because when I heard the record he made, he would kind of rattle it off. It was sort of like this.
Yeah.
And to me, it's such a beautiful
phrase.
And the tune, the harmony is so... kind of ahead of its time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was written, what, in the 30s?
Yep, 28, 29.
But, I mean, thinking of things we did, and not necessarily in the chronological order, things kind of stand out that are important that you've told me over a period of time. Like, I always remember you working with Fats Waller at the Sherman Hotel.
Oh, yeah.
Tell me about that. You had the band, didn't
you?
Well,
I had the house band. I played for dancing and for all the acts, and I was the MC.
But when Fats would come out to do his act, didn't you have to be, he would sit down and ask you to bring out a glass of water or something?
Yeah, yeah.
But people,
and I'd put a towel around my left arm, you know, and drape it, and then have the glass in my right hand. He'd say, "Jamie!" And I'd say, "Yeah, Fats." He'd say, "Bring me my gin, Jamie." And I'd bring out gin.
But the people probably thought it was water. They probably thought it was
funny. They thought it was water, and it was...
Well, is that where he probably sang that song, "I'm going to sit right down and write myself a letter"?
Yeah.
Well, that would be a good one for us to do with the band, wouldn't it?
Why not?
Okay.
Right.
wrote myself a letter and make believe it came from you. I'm going to write words oh so sweet, they're gonna sweep you off your feet. Kisses on the bottom, you'd be glad you got them. I'm gonna smile, say I hope you feel it better, baby, so we can do the things we used to do. I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you.
It's great, man.
Isn't that great? Well, but you know, we should be doing it well because we have such a nice little band with the Chuck Wilson, Matt Finders, Frank Tate, Dennis McCrell, and you and I, and with you just sing that song. That's one of the tunes that you learned from Fats, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, sure. I learned a lot. When I hear someone do a number I enjoy and like, I like to learn it and mumble it as best I can. No voice, just mumble the thing.
What do you call it, mumbling? Dave McKenna calls it non-singing.
I like that.
Well, but you know that so many jazz musicians saying they really don't have a voice in the true sense of the word.
Do you think I have a voice?
Well, if a certain kind, you do, a certain type.
A certain category.
Yeah, in fact, in fact, I was going to try to get you to do another number with the group, Basin Street. Now, did you learn that Run from Louis? Was that a tune or something that you just sort of learned by osmosis in the early days?
I like the word osmosis, so let's put it that way. Yeah,
and its orchestra.
You're on today, kid.
Okay, let's us and the band do a little bit of Basin Street. All right, James?
Right. Now won't you come along with me down that crooked old Mississippi? Baby, we'll take boat to that land of dreams, deep down that river down to New Orleans. There'll be a band there to meet us and old friends to greet us. Now that's where the dark and the light folks meet. Heaven on earth, they call it Basin Street. Basin Street is the street where the dark and the light folks meet, way down in North. Atlanta dreams, man, you'll never know how nice it seems or just how much it really means. I'll be glad to be, yes, sirree, on Welcome Street, cause it's also dear to me where I can lose, baby, lose those Basin Street blues.
That's pretty good for a non-singer. Jimmy, I was just wondering, when did you people, I guess after you came to New York and you were settled in New York, when did you meet George Gershwin or hear his music? Or did you see some of the shows like Porgy and Bess?
Oh, yeah.
Did you learn some of those tunes?
Oh, yeah.
Because you started doing one that I always liked a lot, and it was different from the normal group of tunes that you do with a small band, and that's George Gershwin's Summertime with the harm and mute.
Oh, yeah.
It sounds so pretty. It almost sounds like Miles Davis.
It's great by itself, the melody. You know, Summertime.
In other words, you don't have to embellish it.
No, you don't need any embellishment on Summertime. I think just let, like, you play the chords behind it. The accompaniment is the thing that makes that. Just play that melody, and that's good enough. It always has been.
Okay.
Thank you.
To hear the full Piano Jazz broadcast, tune in next week to your NPR station or stream the program online at pianojazz.npr.org. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina Public Radio.